This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Synchronicity. Things happening at the same time or close to one another.
What is it?
One of the mysteries of this life.
Today, ladies and gentlemen,
we will be unveiling for you
the mysteries of language.
That's right. I'm sure you've had the experience, dear listener, of thinking or talking about someone and then right after that you get a call from them. Or maybe it was a certain topic you were just thinking about and then other separate people are also talking about it as well.
A co-incident event.
Co-meaning together.
The incidence of two events in a coordinated or connected way.
Indeed.
It happens. It happens all the time, in fact.
But does one attribute a special significance to it, or is it just chalked up to another random, meaningless occurrence?
Well, I guess it drills down to your basic understanding of everything. You know, in a strictly material world, there's not a lot of space for that kind of connection between things. It's a sort of mysterious connection because it's sort of beyond causality. We'll get to that in a minute when we get to the definitions, but I think it's a kind of thing that is all around all the time, but it's just that we don't notice it. And maybe some people notice the connection of things more than others. What do you think?
Yes, I think so. And maybe under the influence of certain drugs or people with, certain states of mind, be it through schizophrenia or drug use, it can put you closer, more tuned in to some of these occurrences, and this is the dark side of it, perhaps.
We can have our senses altered, certainly by drugs, and is that what this about? Is this about perception, a perceiving?
I think so, because I suppose to recognize synchronicities, it relies on our own memory and pattern recognition and all that.
And so, good listener, the word for the day is synchronicity. And we shall dive into the screen of knowledge.
For you now.
And see what we can find. Let's go to the Googles, the Google AI. What does it say? I think it
contradicts itself.
We found a bit of contradiction with this one, ladies and gentlemen, in trying to get to the bottom of this. But it does seem to point to one very important character in history. He's not around now, but he hasn't been gone for that long.
Carl Gustav Jung.
Yes, the famous psychoanalyst, colleague of Freud and Wilhelm Reich. Formulator of the theory of archetypes and psychoanalysis.
Yes, it seems that Carl Jung was originally calling it synchronic, but he updated it, rebranded it a little bit.
Well, the word actually, synchronical, is an older word.
So, what we get from the AI overview is that synchronicity is a term coined by Carl Jung, which describes the occurrence of meaningful coincidences, where two or more events seem deeply related, but a lack of direct causal link suggests something deeper, underlying connection between inner psychic states and outer reality. It's not just random chance, it's when a thought, dream, or inner feeling aligns improbably with an external event. This concept challenges linear causality, proposing connecting principle that links the psyche and the material world, often seen as spiritual guidance or universal patterns.
Uh-huh. It gets a bit complicated at the end there, but the first part I'm sure everybody can relate to, the happenings at a day-to-day level that seem weirdly connected.
Indeed.
They seem in sync.
Yes. Which was, of course, a popular boy band.
Of the 90s. Being in sync, being synchronous. Now, this is an old idea and an old word. Synchronous goes way back. Let's have a look at what Etymology Online tells us about the origins of some of the connected words. Now, it says that synchronicity was a word put together by Carl Jung. Originally, he took the word synchronicity, which is the quality of being synchronous, which is a slightly older word, and it's about 100 years old. A synchronism is another word that's been around for a while, or synchronization. And he took those words and he turned it, and he actually created a new sort of idea, because Jung was very interested in the spiritual world as well as the physical one. Perhaps why he's not in high favour these days in our material explanation of everything, but he was very interested in the connection between humans and the human psyche when he talked about archetypes. And I think this came out of his treatment of patients who were experiencing events that seemed connected to them, and of in schizophrenia. People see connection between all kinds of things.
Yes, definitely. And that is the focus, the study of synchronicity, perhaps gone too far down the rabbit hole. Now, so this concept, it's very tied in with the idea of coincidence. The AI overview even uses coincidence in its definition, describing synchronicity. So the idea of co-creation, coincide, things happening together. It's interesting because once again we do find this kind of changing of how it's used, as opposed to its original definition.
Yeah, we find that words get flipped on their head so much, get used in almost the opposite to their actual defined meaning, or to the meaning of the original word when we trace it back.
Yeah, it's like you say, John, most people don't know the definitions of words, but they're defined through usage.
Yeah, and it's hard for us because when we go and try and look at the words like we do, the definitions, it's very confusing because most words have multiple meanings, which quite often sometimes are the contradictory or not connected. The two words here, synchronicity and coincidence, kind of are used in very different ways, even though they might refer to the same kind of thing. I find in common usage, most people would use coincidence as a dismissive concept.
Exactly.
To dismiss the occurrence of two events that might seem connected in some way.
And you can tell it's dismissive because it's preceded by it was just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence. Interestingly, in a legal sense, the coincidence is used to convict an enormous amount of people. It's if you build up enough of them, it's called circumstantial evidence in a court of law, and many people are convicted on circumstantial evidence. So, in fact, sometimes coincidence does speak to a connection. It's just a bit harder to explain, perhaps, in a world where most of our explaining happens, at least at the level of science, in a very material and physical sense. And a lot of these connections that seem to appear beyond the physical. There's some kind of connection between things that you can't quite put your finger on sometimes. Or it's just an idea that connects them.
Mm. Yeah, it happens to me a lot where, say, I'll be watching a movie and then I put on some totally unrelated movie, but then there'll be some weirdly specific detail that seems to carry across from the other film.
Could be a really empowering and useful thing to actually be able to recognize this kind of synchronicity in life. It also seems like it might be a trap.
Yes.
And it can get out of hand if it's not in balance. And we've talked about that a lot before, about things being positive or negative. And a lot of the time it's just in terms of whether they're out of whack or out of proportion, out of balance.
Yes, and I do think that a lot of that mental problem can come in when maybe the person will attribute some kind of negative meaning or negative messaging that's coming across within the patterns that they're recognizing.
Yeah, you could see conspiracies everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I was reading a horror novel recently, and my surname is Lavelle, and there was a part in the book where they say, just casually, they're like, the old Lavelle murder house. And I was thinking, if I was some crackhead in a drug psychosis and I read that with my name, and like, that would just like send me, you know, into, so.
I've got one for you. When I was looking up my family name, Hesse is an English name. I was looking up the heraldry, I was trying to look the shield for the House of Hesse, and there is one. There's a town in England called Hesse in Yorkshire, and the Hesse shield, the House of Hesse, has a lone wolf under the moon and stars, which is blew me away when I found this, because at that time I had a telescope and I was obsessively trying to get pictures of the moon and the sky and the stars. I'm a bit of a lone wolf, so that was a bit of a synchronous, kind of synced up my interests and my me somehow with the origins of my family, maybe speaking to genetics or inherited family traits or something.
It's funny because I had something like that when I looked up the etymology of my surname Lavelle, which is Gaelic, and apparently it means the nomadic traveller, which I certainly have done my share of that, of the nomadic ways.
Definitely, the nomadic traveller.
Yes. It is normally used in a positive light, but then I guess the dark side of it is like, yeah, some sort of idea of
synchronous bad events.
Yeah, yeah.
Synchronous evil.
That's right. And so if the positive synchronicities are provided by your sort of guardian angels, then one can assume the bad side is like the devil's work or the devil's.
I guess the thing about synchronicities is you can dismiss them like coincidences, if you wish, because that causality thing is not always apparent. I mean, it's sometimes there if you go digging deep enough between the two events. You find the connection and you find the reality of the, like, sometimes there is a physical connection, but sometimes not.
On that topic of coincidence, I think we should mention how there's an expression, there's no such thing as a coincidence, or he didn't believe in coincidences. And this comes up a lot in the kind of detective stories and stuff that John and I like to read. But of course, what that means is that this detective character, hero, whatever, was not inclined to simply dismiss two coinciding things as a random chance, but is choosing to see a signification, a meaning, a connection within everything. So that's interesting how through our usage of it, through our sort of casual sort of language conditioned usage of it, people are dismissing the idea without even realizing it. The way that our language is kind of structured, there's like a knee-jerk reaction to see a lack of meaning within things coinciding.
There must be some kind of safety in living in that kind of world where nothing's connected and everything's just random, chaotic mutations and everything's driven just by randomness.
Mm. Yes, it must have an appeal.
I don't say it's not really that appealing to me. I think I like the idea of some kind of higher powers, higher forces working in the world than just our understanding of physics.
Yes, but it must bring some comfort. There must be a lot of people who are horrified by the idea of a meaning or connections or life after death. You know, it's kind of if everything is just a nihilistic ride.
I guess if you've done a lot of bad stuff, it's not a very appealing idea. You might have to pay for it forever.
Mm. Yes.
But a lot of people have these ideas. In fact, they propel people to do all kinds of great and terrible things. The belief in what comes next and how you're rewarded or penalized for your actions.
The idea of synchronicity, to me, it seems like a sort of cousin of déjà vu. You know, the idea of encountering something and it has this familiarity or events playing out with this kind of, yes, I knew that was going to happen, you know, I knew she was going to say that or whatever. And it's kind of like these moments where it feels like we get to step back and look at the architecture of reality as though we're sort of this kind of floating observer.
Maybe it's disconcerting, this idea to some people that there are but forces controlling events outside of their understanding.
I think
that might be very unsettling, particularly to like very highly acclaimed and knowledgeable people in certain fields, like, you know, the sciences.
Yes. Well, I think that the reason that people atheistic or not spiritual are often also dismissive of conspiracies is because both spirituality and conspiracy require a certain humbleness to kind of say, I don't have it all figured out and there are actually these other bigger machinations at play.
Hmm.
So this idea of synchronicity or the occurrence of it, it does speak to a sort of a Jungian idea of a collective mind, collective unconscious. It speaks to, as we've talked about, the idea proposed by Rupert Sheldrake of morphic resonance.
Ah, there you go. And there's a mechanism for our synchronicity. Basically, if we acknowledge or if we accept or if we propose perhaps that there is more to the physical world than we've been able to calculate with our scientific processes. Sheldrake proposes that the idea of some kind of field that exists within the world, a morphic field or resonance that transmits energy and is part of the mechanism of our physical world that we don't perceive and that we don't describe, and that this enables systems to have an external control. So the idea that our mind is not contained within our brain solely. Our brain is part of the architecture, part of the mechanism of thinking and experiencing the spirit, but it's not actually going on strictly inside your brain that there's some kind of signal broadcast going on, coming in and going out, even at a cellular level. And Bruce Lipton talks about this. He's a genetic scientist.
Yes, there appears to be a hive mind aspect to humanity, and maybe things like fashion trends are not solely dictated by cultural taste makers and big corporations, but it is in fact capitalizing on this hive mind aspect of what people do.
The egregore.
Yes.
Or the egregores.
Which is another spiritual idea that we should define for any new listeners.
Now, we have mentioned these entities in the past.
Indeed.
There's all kinds of proposed entities besides the biological and physical forms that we're acquainted with that a lot of people believe in. You know, religions have their angels and spirits of different kinds. But beyond that...
Well, an egregore requires people to come together and believe in it or invest in it to give it life. So it gets a bit confusing because this spiritual entity, whilst it is separate, it can't exist without being shaped by human consciousness.
No physical form. But the easiest way to get your head around this is just to think of a beehive or a flock of birds or the way fish swim in schools.
This sounds like more evidence for synchronicity.
There you go. There's some kind of mechanism that lets these life forms do things that we can't really explain. The flight of birds or the schooling of fish. The way termites construct architectural wonders, termite mounds, whole cities, ecosystems where they grow their own crops, they farm. They actually farm other animals and organisms, and it's all quite amazing. And the knowledge and the ability to do this appears to be coming from the mind of all of these creatures. And, of course, if you step back from humanity and have a look at us from some distance...
From a bird's eye view.
We look a lot like ants running around in patterns, you know, from a long way away. The meaning to it is lost, and all we see is the activity, and we probably don't look much different from insects.
There was this great Twilight Zone episode with this young couple, and they wake up in this place and they don't know where they are, and then they discover that everything's fake, and then at the end of the episode it's revealed that they're inside this little terrarium with this little alien girl looking down on them. And the mum says, "Now you be careful with your pets. Daddy got them all the way from Earth."
That makes me think of Doctor Who and the arcade machines that they would come across with snapshots of time.
Yes.
Sort of stolen from different places and put into these arcade machines. There was, I remember in one episode, there was it was set on a ship that disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle, and the doctor's TARDIS landed on the ship, and they... were in this loop where they kept repeating the same half hour over and over again.
Sounds like something from the Tom Baker era.
Sometimes I feel like I'm trapped in one of those machines. Have I been stolen? Is my life just a loop repeating itself?
Is it?
I don't know. I hope not. Well, perhaps I can find a way out, because the doctor did escape from the loop and ended up inside the actual machine, and they had to crawl out through all these tubes.
Sounds a bit Matrix-like.
Doctor Who.
There are even those who study this phenomenon of synchronicity within reality, and they call themselves syncretists or synchromystics.
Hmm.
And
who is he?
Well, I feel like, is it too fringe to talk about?
No, let's get into it. Who are they?
Santos Bonacci is one.
Okay, is he? Is he self-acclaimed? Synchronist.
And so is... He's a syncretist.
Oh, a syncretist.
And then I think Chris Knowles is into, like, synchro-mysticism. His whole blog, Secret Sun, is all about that, looking at these patterns within the natural world and
well, I think John and Riley are too. Where? Yeah. What is he? A synchro what?
Synchro mysticist.
I think we're synchro mysticists.
Yes, I think so. And I think that, of course, yes. The
put that down as your religion on your next form you fill out.
Yes, indeed. Watch them scratch their heads. These kind of connections, as far as like a sort of invisible aspect to reality that's connecting people, I think the occurrences of these co-occurrences can happen more the closer that you are with someone. So say, for example, family members, you know, you'll hear those stories about a mother having some vivid vision in the middle of the night the same time that her son's in trouble, you know, she's like picking up on a vibe. Or, and it even happens, you know, within people that live in the same house, people that are close friends, they'll start talking, saying the same things at the same time, finishing each other's sentences. There's like a weird kind of mind meld thing that that starts to happen.
The territory of the egregore. Completely invisible to most of us, not understood or yeah. unpacked on any level.
I'll give you an example of this. So one of the women that I live with, there was a number of occasions in which we would be doing the same thing in a given day, but it would just happen without us communicating with one another. It would just be a coincidence, like we both got back to the house and found we'd both had a haircut the same day. Or we both got to the house and realized we'd both started a different yoga class, but on the same day, kind of things like that, these weird sort of overlaps in our routines and daily choices that were happening independent of one another, but I believe was happening more because we're living together, so there is this, that connection is sort of heightened.
Held together by the egregore entity. And of course, these kind of things are common amongst siblings, and identical twins have this kind of stuff going on all the time. But you don't have to be related for these kinds of things to happen. You just have to be connected to someone in some way. And this is our understanding of the appearance of the egregore. It's really just about being connected to other people, and you can have all kinds of connections to people, and so you can have all kinds of egregores with different kinds of ability to influence the participants. Well, that's their physicality. That's what gives them a connection to our world, is the humans that create them. They use our physical world, our physical abilities to participate in what's going on here in a controlling way quite often. If you think about termite mounds, bees' nests.
Yeah, that's right. And once again, we don't look so different from afar. We will be back after a break with more Breaking Waves. But until then, have a happy
synchronous.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.